May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But keeping with our theme for the Lenten retreat, in the area of repentance. So repentance obviously involves agreeing with him. The word confess, you know, means to agree with. And to agree with somebody means they had to say it first. So repentance is not about morbid introspection. Repentance is about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, like Father Glenn said, who's working in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure and responding in agreement when he shows you something. And in this chapter, we have Jesus giving this beautiful example of forgiveness. Christianity is the only religion in the world. I don't even like to call it religion, but the only religion in the world that one of the major ways that people are transformed is by forgiving them again and again and again. When Jesus said at the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing," you know that the language there, that's an imperfect verb. He was saying it over and over again. He had said it hundreds of times, under his breath, as they striped him, as they spit on him, "Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them." I think at some point that's what broke Dismas's heart. Because in the gospel it speaks of the fact that he was mocking Jesus just like the other thief on the cross, but at some point it broke. And he began to rebuke the other thief for mocking him and looks to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me this day in paradise." There was something about Jesus at that point had changed his perspective of who this person was. And I think it was because he kept hearing those words, "Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them." Even when he was mocking, "Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them." The extraordinary and extravagant love of God, the grace of God, just broken. And in this chapter, it says about Jesus washing their feet, and because this is a short little word, that the humility expressed. I mean, this is Christ, and he's on his in a loincloth on his hands and his feet. I mean, and washing their feet, and as you know, all of them abandoned him. At one point, John came back to the cross. Now, Judas betrayed him, but they all abandoned him at the cross. And so it wasn't like he was thinking these are all really perfect people. He knew who they were. He knew what was going on. And remember, he also washed Judas's feet. I'm not saying Judas was born again, but I'm saying the posture of God's heart. See, because of our fallenness, God's love for us is always an expression of his humility. Eucharist is an amazing expression of his humility. That the God of gods, the King of kings, would come to us in simple bread and simple wine, that blows my mind. Some of you have heard me say this one time. This was some years ago here. I was just teaching about Eucharist, the real presence and what all that means. And I was standing over there worshiping, and I said, "Lord, say something new to me. Make it fresh to me." And he said, "In Eucharist, I become small for you." I've never gotten over that. That's one of the most important theological statements I've ever known about Eucharist. But he's always doing that, didn't he? The fact that he came, took on the form of a man, he became small for us. His pursuit is there's such humility. And so here's Christ in humiliation. Because loving people with dirty feet, you understand, requires humility. Be willing to be humiliated because they're going to fail you again, right? And so here's Jesus washing their feet, and he comes to Peter, and I love Peter. Peter says, "Lord, what are you doing washing my feet?" And Jesus says, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, you will later." Boy, did he later. But he said, "But if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me." And he didn't say, "You don't have a part in me." He's talking about fellowship. I don't wash your feet, then you can't know fellowship. Glenn talked about that in his message. And then Peter's like, "Well, wash everything." And he says, "No, you don't need everything washed. You're clean. You've been bathed." In our language, post-cross, after the cross, you've been born again, but you get dirty feet. Because, you know, they wore sandals, you know, the deal. He got dirty. He was using that as an illustration. He said, "But you get dirty feet. And if you're going to walk in fellowship with me, from time to time, your feet have to be cleansed." Now, here's what I want you to understand. It's not dirty feet that keeps us from having fellowship with Jesus. It's refusing to have them cleansed that keeps us from having fellowship with Jesus. It's being unable to admit my feet are dirty and the fact that I need to appropriate cleansing and forgiveness. Pride, self-defending, excusing, explanation. Jesus, the blood of Christ, can it cleanse excuses? The blood of Christ cleanses sins confessed as sin, not excuses. And so, sometimes it's pride, and then sometimes it's fear, insecurity, that we're afraid if we get honest before God like He doesn't know, that we'll be rejected. But that's not possible. He can't reject you. You can't do anything to make Him love you more or make Him love you less. You're accepted in the Beloved. Jesus said, even as the Father loved me, so I loved you. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. He said, with the same kind of love that God loves God within the triune, I love you. Wow. So, repentance, which confession is a part of it, isn't something to be feared. It's something to celebrate His commitment to our transformation. And to not be afraid that I'm going to be rejected if I get come clean before Him. Because for me to walk in fellowship with Him, I have to get my feet cleansed from time to time. Because it's not my dirty feet, it's refusing to have my dirty feet cleansed and staying in my sin, whether it's out of rebellion or fear or unbelief or whatever. Jesus assumes in this story that we're going to get dirty feet from time to time. It's only a shocker to you. We forget what God remembers. We remember what God forgets. We remember our sins. He forgets them. We forget that we're sinners. He never stops remembering that. That we have the capacity to sin. So I just encourage you, we're still in this retreat, just let Him wash your feet. It's your refusal to get honest and excuse and explain and rationalize that's keeping you from all that He wants you to experience. But the other side of the story was, Jesus then He said, what I've done to you, you're going to have to do to each other. You're going to have to wash each other's feet. And then He goes on, He says, if you'll do what I've told you this day, you'll be blessed. I don't know about you, but I'm still sanguine enough that I like getting blessed. Right? That's not a carnal desire to want to be blessed. He shouldn't put the carrot out there. He shouldn't say, And I believe that one of the stories there is that in getting your feet dirty and just our walk with the Lord and Him cleansing us, the biggest issue that we're going to deal with as believers is forgiving other people. That's the hardest thing in the world, especially clergy. Because what you do as clergy every day, you set yourself up to be abandoned, be betrayed, be hurt. And I was telling my rector, Missions Council, every sermon that you preach is personal. It is to me. I never preach a sermon just think I'm going to give a word. I'm always thinking about this will impact their lives. Every sermon I preach is a personal moment with each individual in my congregation or in my diocese or whatever. The time you spend. But we're called to lay our life down for the sheep, not the other way around. But the deal is it hurts. And then other people. Of course, you never not have forgiveness issues with bishops because we don't sin against you that we would ever be willing to admit. We wear socks. But you understand the point? Jesus said, this is going to be the highest expression of love is forgiving each other. He said, if you'll do these things, what? let me wash your feet from time to time, and wash each other's feet. You'll be blessed. And here's the cool thing. It starts off, Jesus, it says, he loved those whom the Father had given him who were in the world. Jesus was not naive to the fact that they were in the world. He knows that we're dust. He committed himself to this long-term eternal relationship, at least on this side until we get our new bodies and the presence of sin removed. He committed himself to people who get dirty feet. My brothers and sisters in the ministry, you're an icon of that person, and you've committed yourself to people with dirty feet. And this is one of those appropriate places where this term is used. His bride is dark, but so not. He loves her still. Amen? So if you have some issues of forgiveness, we still got time on the retreat. Start coming to grips with it. You need to be forgiven, but if you need to extend forgiveness, if you want to be blessed, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.